Well, this week will be the beginning of Lent. And it's a busy week in that respect, and it's a busy next 6 weeks coming up. Historically speaking, this particular period of time has probably been of greater importance in so many ways in the Christian calendar than even Christmas. And as I mentioned, during the Christmas time, during Advent, the Presbyterian Church in Scotland anyway, and many of other Protestant denominations in Europe, banned Christmas at one time because there was just too much emphasis being given to that and less on Lent and Easter. Lent and Easter is probably the central focus of the Christian faith. And the reason for that, of course, is because this is the whole sort of central tenet of what we understand as Christians, that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And it's important for us as we move into this time period to be really seriously considering that. And as a result, there are many things that take place during this particular period, many of which have become almost outside the walls of the church as far as that goes. Even the word Lent has become a part of, and I'll explain in a moment how, a part of the activities that may take place outside, because this Tuesday is Fat Tuesday, as they call it, and it's a time when we normally have pancakes and things like that for dinner and whatnot, but it's the sort of the last day before Lent begins, when traditionally in the church itself people were giving up things, particularly we were doing a period of fasting. And the idea that Fat Tuesday, or Mardi Gras, as we've come to know it, is the beginning of that particular time, and it's sort of the last blowout time, if you like, or way it's become, and big parties are often held, certainly in the southern states. You also may understand or have heard the word carnival, and during this time of Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras, there's a carnival. Now, I'm pointing this out particularly today because it's not carnival, it is carnival that takes place. And we've kind of transposed those words because carnival, if those of you who understand sort of Latin-based languages a little bit maybe, and Latin itself, carne is meat. So carnival is farewell meat. So the big party that we have, or festival that we celebrate of Carnival at Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras, is to say that we're giving up meat for Lent and we're going to be fasting now. And we've, again, lost some of that sort of meaning and tradition. Lent itself comes from a word that means basically spring season, and it means that there's 40 days coming up before Easter takes place. And lots of things take place that we would normally, in the past, say, for Lent I'm going to give up chocolate, or I'm going to give up whatever it may be as a symbol of that sort of fasting or sacrifice. The probably in our modern time, if we were going to be considering that in this congregation and in our Protestant beliefs in that sense, one of the most valuable commodities that we have today is time. And if we were going to give up something to symbolize that fasting period during Lent, would be something that occupies our time. So whatever that may be, it may even be a meal, but it may be some other thing, a TV or whatever it may be. And then at giving that time, it can now be spent thinking about God, thinking of and praying, maybe spending some time reading the Bible, or maybe even doing some activities where you're helping other people, which you normally wouldn't necessarily have the time to do. So as you're considering things during Lent, symbolically to give up and to change in that 40-day period, maybe that's some things to consider, maybe helping some other people that maybe you normally wouldn't get a chance to do. One of the other traditions that we started here, and it's a long-standing tradition within Christian faith, but we do here, is that we symbolically get rid of the word alleluia or hallelujah. And alleluia is, hallelujah means praise God in Hebrew and in Greek. The idea being that, not that we're not praising God, it's just during this time of Lent, we're going to be considering putting that away so that we can save that for the Easter Sunday morning when we can say, hallelujah, Jesus has risen. And during this time, we're considering all that he has done for us. So in light of that, I'm going to symbolically set this box up here on the table. And I have hallelujah written out. So this is our symbolic hallelujah, and I've written it in Hebrew, which is praise Yahweh, Alleluia. I've written it in biblical Greek, which is praise the Lord. And the idea being, and as I was reading more about this, some places even build a little coffin to put it in, so to speak. But we've got a little box. We're going to put it in the box, and we're going to hide it there, and we'll reveal that again when we get down to our Easter time, so that we can surprise ourselves with the revealing Alleluia in 40 days. In that introduction, I just want us now to get ready, and let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray that this time, as we're thinking about Transfiguration, as about Mardi Gras and Carnival and Lent, Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Easter Friday, there's lots to be considering, and it will become a busy time for us in our congregation. And Lord, we pray that we can truly engage in this time period of Lent, engage in this time period where we're considering the changes that need to take place in our lives, that transfiguration for us in so many ways. And Lord, as we put this Alleluia away today, help us again to symbolically kind of engage with it and understand that we're giving something up, putting something away that we can reveal again in the glory of Easter when Christ is risen. Help us this morning, Lord, to put aside the distractions we may have brought with us today, the worries about later on today or even tomorrow, the things that do distract us, and help us to fully listen and engage in your Spirit. Teach us, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there was a man that went to his doctor and expressed the following concern to his doctor. You know, doc, I'm really worried. Every time I drink my coffee, I feel a stabbing pain in my eye. Do you think it's really serious? The doctor looked at him and thought for a moment and said, well, maybe if you took the spoon out of your mug, it would probably help. We may not have had a spoon blinding us, causing us pain, but there are times in our lives when we can only see things from one perspective and we miss the obvious, maybe, so to speak, that's in front of us, and that's really the point of that. There's an obvious solution, but sometimes we're so caught up in the moment, we forget, we can't see it. We're locked into a certain way of thinking, and we can't see anything else. We all form opinions many times in this very way. And sometimes our opinions, we discover when we change our perspective, we can see that maybe our opinion might have been needed some change and adjustment itself. Sometimes we need to get outside of ourselves to be able to see things from a new vantage point. Probably one of the things I spend a great deal of time and have done over the years I've been here talking about modern media, and particularly television and film, and trying to understand how the culture that we live in is reflected through these particular two medias, or mediums. It's difficult for us to understand our culture because we're in the middle of it. That's the point. We've got a spoon sticking out of our mug, and we can't see it sometimes, even though it's obvious to maybe people outside. Sometimes we need to put that down and step back so we can see those things that surround us. And that's probably why I spend that much time thinking about that. And it has to do with not just our culture on a sort of the worldly or secular sense, but even our culture as Christians and church people. There's certain things that we sometimes miss because it's always been that way and we're used to it and we're comfortable with it, nothing wrong with that. But I think understanding who we are and where we're coming from can change us and make us even better in so many ways. The phrase mountaintop experience is something maybe many of us have heard in the past. So-and-so had a mountaintop experience when they lived through a certain situation or experience in their lives. And often that expression is used when someone goes through a really tough life experience. They have a life-changing moment, a mountaintop experience. And that phrase comes directly from what's happened with Moses on the Mount Sinai when he spoke with God and got the tablets for the Ten Commandments, and also when Jesus had his transfiguration take place, his change, his whole perspective changed on that mountain or that hill that he was on. Both Moses and Jesus were changed forever. Fundamentally, though, something else changed. It wasn't just them that changed in that mountaintop experience. It was the people around them. When Moses came down off that mountaintop, the people that were down waiting for him, the children of Israel, saw a difference in Moses. But it wasn't just what they saw, it was how things, because Moses brought with him the Ten Commandments. Their life had changed forever because of that mountaintop experience. The disciples saw Jesus in a very different light, because not only did they see a different light around him and Moses and Elijah in his presence, they got a little bit more of an insight of what was coming for Jesus. They too were changed. Up to that point, if we look at all of the historical writings from theologians over the years, one of the things that they've approached with this is that Jesus is, up to that point, the disciples were not really fully aware of what Jesus was going to do, other than he was going to maybe change their social situation, in that he was going to be the Messiah and boot the Romans out and put Jerusalem back where it should be and the Israelites back where they should be in power. But at that particular mountaintop experience that night, Jesus told them what was coming, that he was going to die and rise again. And he instructed them not to tell anybody until that happened. They had changed just as much. I think one of the things about Lent for us and the Transfiguration in particular today, Lent that we're moving into, is that we need to have a change of perspective. And one of the things that we can do during that time where we spend time with God, which is what Lent is challenging us to do, is to change our perspective, to change the way we see ourselves as Christian believers, as Jesus followers. It's easy to fall into the routine of things. It goes without saying about how we get into the routine of things. How many people sit in the same place every Sunday morning? We like routine. Nothing wrong with routine. But sometimes, just think about sitting somewhere else on a Sunday morning. See what happens with the people around you, because I know there have been times when one or two of you have done that, where you've sat in a different place. And I've heard stories about that. One of the first things that happens is other people, were you here on Sunday? I didn't see you. Well, I wasn't sitting in my usual spot. It's interesting, if you want to look at it, how where we sit is how we see church on Sunday morning. When you're sitting right here or over here, up front or down the back, you're seeing the pulpit, you're seeing the choir, you're seeing Renata playing keyboard from a particular angle. And that's your experience. And when you move somewhere else in the building that we're worshiping in, that changes that. That makes us a little bit uncomfortable. And that's okay to be a little bit uncomfortable, because now we're seeing it in a new light. We're seeing it in brand new eyes, if you like. And I've referred to this in the past as well. Sometimes it's a challenge for us to try to see things for the first time. See things for the first time. I've spent some time the last little while. There's something I've wanted to do, and I don't think my hands are going to let me, but it's a different particular guitar style I want to particularly learn. And it's the Merle Travis picking. And I've watched some players, and I'm looking at Gord because he's a guitar player and he knows what I'm talking about. This Merle Travis way of playing, and it's very complicated, not with the left hand on the fretboard, but with this hand on the strings over here. And your fingers all have to work independently from your thumb, and it's just dazzling me in thoughts. And I watch little kids to really older folks playing this style very, very well, and I'm not very encouraged, I gotta say, Gord. But it's caused me to see playing guitar with fresh eyes again. Caused me to see that with something new. When's the last time that we read through the stories of Jesus in the Gospels with fresh eyes? As if they were reading them for the first time. That's why sometimes changing up the translation helps. Because it's the words are a little bit different than you're used to hearing. You've been transformed. You've been metamorphosized in that sense and changed. You know, one of the things that I caused me to be thinking about some of this was, you know, we have a new granddaughter, and we've been talking with the kids, and it's got me thinking about my kids when they were younger. I used to take my kids to work with me quite a lot. They remember those adventures. They remember one in particular, Donna. I took my kids to the office because for a while I was working. I had to work every month through a whole weekend to do a system backup on our computer systems. And I was there babysitting tape changes and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, well, I'll take the kids with me because I'm there all day anyway. And there's nobody in the office. Well, they remember being at work with me as this great, wonderful playtime. They would put the wheelie chairs and run up and down the hallways with them, and we made craft dinner for lunch, which I ruined at one point, and they remember that very, very well in particular. And work was fun. And when I would tell them stories of the adventures at work, work was always, you know, I had all the funny stories to tell them about things that we'd happened and we'd done. And the kids just thought about it, and it was great. Maybe the disservice I'm thinking about that I did there was I forgot to tell them about the crummy days, the days when I didn't want to be at work, the days when, oh, I got to do that again, you know, like, or this is going to take forever, or I'm not getting along with this person today, or they're not getting along with me. We missed all of those. So I can see in some respects in my own kids, when they're talking about their own particular experiences at work, they seem to be kind of let down a little bit. Because work is work. That's why they call it work. It's hard at times. We need to change our perspective sometimes. I think that what happens sometimes is we're like our kids, my kids in that example. We're used to running up and down the halls and having fun, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful time. And then suddenly the reality sits in for you, and it can be a bit of a disappointment. You know, when we tell stories about raising our kids, often we tell the stories that were great and funny, you know, and not those lonely nights when the baby won't shut up. You know, those are tough times too. We've all been there, and we need to share that. And we need to be sharing the moments in our journey and in our faith the same way. I think one of the disservices that we've done historically within the church is to have people like myself standing up here saying, you know, to be a Christian, that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. Here's all the wonderful experiences. Let's bring in a guest speaker who's a missionary and went out and did work and all this wonderful stuff that went on. And we think that the Christian journey is something that can be filled always with wonderful times. And that's not a disservice in some ways, not an untruth, so to speak. But that we have to tell the other side of that coin, too. There are times when we have to struggle through bad news about our health or bad news about a relative or bad news about something that's going on in our job. And we have to go to God and deal with these things. And they don't just get resolved in 20 minutes. There's my reference to television media. They get resolved in a longer period of time. And when we do read Scripture, as I'm telling you to do, and we read it in the true context that's going on, we begin to see that things take a long time very often. The biblical stories we have in the Old Testament, Moses, for instance, we talk about Moses and the children of Israel and that whole experience that they went through. Yeah, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. 40 years they wandered in the desert. Can you imagine what it would be like for someone to stand up here and say, I was a Christian and I've been a Christian for 40 years and it sucks, but now it's okay. For 40 years, things weren't working out so well, but now it's finally starting to get there. We don't want to hear that story. We want to hear that I became a Christian person and my life changed and everything was wonderful from day one. All my problems went away and it was just great. But the transfiguration that has to take place in the way we approach things is that God is with us through thick and thin, through good and bad. That's why it's really important, I think, when we read in Psalm 100 today, and I'm going back to that so I can get it directly. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness endures forever to all generations. Endures forever. A tough thing to consider. When we're in the midst of bad news, or we're in the midst of a dry spell in our spiritual life, or we're having difficulties with other people in our lives, God's love endures forever. It's everlasting. Transfiguration Sunday that we're thinking about today is a change that took place in Moses' life, but more importantly in Jesus' life. As we move into Lent, what can we do to change something in our lives to help us to do the same thing, to change, to transform? What is God tapping any of us on the shoulder about that needs to be changed, that we need to see differently? We need to change that perspective. We need to go through a kind of a metamorphosis in our lives. We need to be asking that question over the next 40 days, over the next 6 weeks, as we move into Easter. This is all symbolically speaking. It's all part of a tradition that we follow, but it's an important tradition and it's an important thing that we do. We need to be changed, and we need to ask God to help us change. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, all of us are dealing with something in our lives that requires a little bit of change, and in some cases, a great deal of change. And what makes the difference so many times about how we approach things is how we perceive them and how our attitude about them. Pardon me. Lord, change us. Change us that we can see things as you want us to be seeing them and to be the people that you want us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God has revealed so much to us in his love that we have become his children. We want to be grateful and we want to be thankful, and we do that now by giving those gifts that we have been given and honoring them, that God can work out the kingdom of God in our community. This is the time for our tithes and our offerings before God.